Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, Teron.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. I am your host, Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. I appreciate each of you tuning in. And I tell you what, we're fresh off a mandatory minicamp, 2 days of it. So it's a great opportunity to talk some shop. There's some things to be excited about, some things to be a little concerned about. We'll get into all that. There's going to be some greatest of all time Titans receiver talk. We'll get into that with former Titans receiver Nate Washington, a guy whose name has been thrown in the hat when you talk about some of the elite guys that have played for the team. So we'll have Nate come on, and as we do each and every week, we'll talk shop with Chris Sanders, Run TMC. Looking forward to get his take on some of these things as well. But we're going to start with mandatory minicamp. And I'll say this, right? Derrick Henry reported. I thought it was really good just how aggressively he attacked practice. And you saw him at times kind of put the younger guys aside and say, hey, man, I need to get this rep. You saw him making cuts, planting and getting upfield, catching the football out of the backfield, doing extra sprints towards the end of practice with head trainer Frank Pirano, as well as Harold Landry. These are the things that make Derrick Henry great. And I thought it was pretty cool when he was asked about motivation, right? And I asked him specifically if how people are starting to question whether or not he could get back to that borderline unstoppable presence that he was before the injury. And he said that it's motivation, and people don't even know they're motivating them. But he said to the haters and doubters or whatever, we gonna see. That was his exact quote. And it's just interesting when you get an athlete of Derrick Henry's success level, right? The caliber of athlete that he is, they're always looking for motivation. So now he's found it. I'm just curious how he's going to take his game back to that level that it was. And we all know 2,000-yard rusher 2020, probably on his way to doing that in 2021. But will they continue to load the wagon the way that they've done before? Well, you ask Todd Downing. He said the Titans have a certain type of football that they're going to play regardless of who's in there. So that tells me they're going to continue to run the football. I just want to see if they're going to pound Derrick Henry as much. Like, is 250-plus carries something that you're going to continue to see from him? They brought on Hassan Haskins, a fourth-round pick out of Michigan. Will they use him to kind of offset the workload that Henry gets? That's something to focus on, because you have to wonder with Henry, when you watch him, you know how it works. This is a guy that gets stronger as the game goes on, gets stronger as the season goes on. So I'll be watching that this year. But until then, I mean, we have to bank on what we're seeing at minicamp and what we will see at training camp. And I saw a Derrick Henry that definitely seemed motivated. A Derrick Henry that was, during special teams period, running up and down the field with running backs coach Tony Dews, right, working on catching the football. These are all the things that we saw him do before, and he's attacking it again, so that's a positive sign. Now, one guy who was also in the mix there as far as some questions about whether or not he was going to check into minicamp, Jeffrey Simmons. Simmons, I thought, you couldn't really tell that he was at a lighter weight. But, of course, he had the hoodie on and the shorts. It's different when seeing them actually in uniform, right? Like we saw Derrick Henry, who seemed to have gotten bigger. But Simmons said he's looking to play around 295. And that's something that's a part of his goal, to have his footwork sped up so he could get up the field and be more disruptive. And he mentioned that it was not just in the run game or pass game. It was in the run game, too. So let's go ahead and listen to what Jeffrey Simmons said about that.
Maybe 295, but right around 300 in that range, I think that would feel good for me. And just being able, you know, to help the team the best way I can by staying healthy. So,
how was the Von Miller, the pass rushing summit? How was that for you?
Oh, it was great. You know, of course, you know, with Von Miller, he'll tell you that, you know, we didn't do really drills. You know, I walked through a lot of stuff with D-Ware, but, you know, just to be around them guys, you know, Calais Campbell and all them older vets, you know, just to hear their perspective on the way they rush and the way they attack guys, I think that was good for me because, especially being a young guy, you know, I'm there with a lot of guys who have 100 sacks. I think it was like 3 or 4 guys that in that 100 sack range. And of course, it's a Padre summit, so, you know, I'm all ears to it. And also, we just went on the field. It was also, you know, went to the film room. So I think that was my biggest thing, to get around them guys to see how they think, you know, how do they approach, you know, certain blockers, if it's a jump setter or whatever it may be. So I had a great time just to learn. You know, I took a lot of notes. I made sure I had me a notebook and pen. So I took a lot of notes from them guys. And, you know, it was just great to be around all them vets. So
that's Jeffrey Simmons there speaking on, you know, what he was able to do at the Von Miller Pass Rush Summit. But then in addition to that, I love the fact that he said that he was around a lot of pass rushers, but he's also keeping in mind that you want to get better as a run stopper as well. And that's something that he's done a great job of. You know, he's been disruptive from that standpoint. So we'll see how that continues to work. I think one of the other guys that you have to look at, or even before we do that, Jeffrey Simmons, the contract talk. I thought he kind of navigated those waters pretty well. I mean, there were various questions about, you know, who he's retaining. He did reveal that he is retaining an agent, and that's something to consider, especially, you know, as they get ready for this whole contract situation. And you want to see the Titans avoid what happened with A.J. Brown. I don't think they could afford to lose Simmons, too. I mean, that would be two cornerstones. Simmons, you know, said that he was obviously aware of the A.J. situation, but I thought he said it best where A.J. played receiver, he plays defensive line, and he's just focusing on being the best Jeffrey Simmons that he could be for the Tennessee Titans. In that process, though, you got to get paid. So we'll see how that works. He doesn't want anything to do with the contract talk, so that's why he's retaining a team, which will be led by his uncle, Jason Hatcher, who played for the Cowboys. He was a third-round pick, I believe it was 2003. So I believe at some point, you know, the contract thing is going to be something that they're going to have to approach. Whether or not they do that in year 4, it's going to be – I think this is a unique situation just because we're talking about $4 million in salary, you know, when this is a guy that should be approaching 30. So this is one of those ones where I don't think it sets a precedent. It sets a tone for future situations. I think it is unique in itself, especially when we have a guy like Simmons who has accelerated himself into, outside of Aaron Donald, probably the top defensive interior lineman. So he should be paid like he is, one of the best. So we'll see how that works out. But Nate Davis is another one. I thought it was interesting. He said he was going to work out in L.A. That's what he was doing there. Working with a group as opposed to being at the OTAs, right, the voluntary OTAs. And he definitely looks leaner. He mentioned COVID having a role in him not being, 100% or in top performing level last year. He had it twice. So that could be something. It's a contract year for him, too. So it's one of those situations. The 2019, that draft class, the chickens have come home to roost, right? These guys are there's a bunch of starters, whether it's David Long. We mentioned Simmons. A.J. Brown, we said, you know, he's out of here. Amani Hooker, Nate Davis. And there's a bunch of guys in this class that are looking to, you know, get that next deal. And I think, you know, when you look at Nate Davis, he's a guy that I'm sure that they would like to bring back. That number is going to be that number. You do see things starting to go up for even our guards and interior offensive linemen. So we'll watch how that works. But those are some of the things I think there's a lot of positive, though, coming out of minicamp, right? You know, you got Chig Okonkwo, 3 touchdowns in low red zone, 7-on-7 on Tuesday. He caught another one on 7-on-7 on Wednesday, and he's a guy Ryan Tannehill targeted him. Logan Woodside hit him as well. Chig, I think if you look, he's going to play a big role in what they're looking to do, you know, with some of their packages. Austin Hooper and Ryan Tannehill, they're working on that timing. That's something that, you know, definitely stands out during special teams period. There's a lot of extensive work being done just so they can get the feel for each other and how they run routes and how Tannehill throws certain routes. So you're going to see a lot from this tight end group, if you ask me. But on the positive, you know, Okonkwo was somebody that stood out. Josh Malone is another one that's pretty impressive. You know, liking what I see from him, he's someone they like to fade it up to him and let him catch it in the corner of the end zone. You know, let him go up, use his length, right, and go up and get the football, and that's what he's done. So there are some things to, you know, to look at. Obviously some concern there with Treylon Burks, right, and maybe not concern, but just, you know, some caution. He hasn't been able to practice. He wasn't on the field in either of the minicamp practices. Titans coach Rob Moore, the receiver coach, he said that there's a lot going on install-wise. A lot of different people got their hands on him or touching him, you know, and what he means is like working with him to get him on point from a mental aspect as far as, you know, having the install period, knowing, you know, the plays, et cetera, the classroom work. That's something that they're doing. Rob Moore said that he didn't have any doubts that Burks will be able to transition onto the football field when it's time to do that, and that it's going to be late July when they start training camp. That's going to be one to watch, though. I mean, it was 99 on Tuesday, 100 on Wednesday. Really going to have to see how he's going to handle the heat. I mean, these were – August type of days, right? And those are that's when training camp is, obviously. So we'll keep track of how Burks is coming along. Mike Vrabel wouldn't say that they have a different program for him, anything like that, but the rookies are staying behind. That the goal is to rookies as a whole. I thought maybe Burks would have a different program, but as a whole, the rookies are staying behind to get conditioning work, to get a lift in, and just continue to get used to working in the heat. Okonkwo said that that's something that he wants to focus on himself, and he'll be in the Atlanta area getting that done after the rookies break minicamp. But there's a lot to be excited about. There is some to be concerned about. But this team is very intriguing, and it's tough to tell, you know, where they're going to be because there's so many questions. The secondary, you know, you got guys in yellow jerseys and Christian Fulton and Caleb Farley, but they're still a month away from training camp. So we'll see how that continues to fall into place. I think there's a lot of competition there, a lot of versatility there in the secondary. And then you look at the front. The front is the front, right? Bud Dupree coming back and being you know, a year removed from the injury and being able to focus on just standard football training as opposed to recovery. I think it's going to be a big year for Bud Dupree. You got Landry, obviously, DeNico Autry. There's some pieces in place. So we'll see how the defense continues to play out. The offense is the, not concern, but the offense is the question. How are they going to replace some of the production that has gone out the window? But they managed to replace Derrick Henry. Not replace, but fill in for Derrick Henry when he was out. Let's see if they could do that similar type of group think approach to AJ Brown being gone. And we'll see how that pans out. But we're going to go ahead and pay these bills. We'll be right back with Chris Sanders, Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
As the music fades and the lights dim, that's right, you hear it. You hear it coming.
Uh-oh.
And now, starting at small forward for your Chicago Bulls, number zero, Orlando.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Woo-wit.
Oh, wow. Man, I'm hanging up. I don't even want to do the show now, man. Now that's cold. And now, as starting safety for your 49ers, Merton Hanks.
Got me doing the duck walk and everything.
Man, he was a monster, though. Boy, that dude could cover some ground. He was smart, man.
Hey, you talk about coming down, swooping in, and getting an interception.
What?
Woo.
He wasn't big, though. He was just long.
Yeah, he was just long. His neck.
Neck,
his
man. He did, hey, what's that turtleneck what he wearing?
Oh, yeah. It was an extra large neck. 3X neck.
So, man, what's been going on with you? I know, man, you've been talking about Titan stuff. I know it's been crazy. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Burks, all this stuff, man. What is going on at the camp, boss?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Traylon Burks did not participate in either of the mini camp.
Does that concern you?
It's something to be very wary of. I'm not sure concerned yet, because even Rob Moore, he said on Wednesday, he said that there's still time, and he said that he's getting everything he can from an install perspective and film room and those type of things. Ryan Tannehill said that they've been very communicative just as far as speaking to each other and just getting him to understand how Tannehill sees things and those. But you know, at some point, it has to go over to the field. So I think that's where there's some wariness.
I mean, we can talk all day, and I'm being careful when I say this. I know I always say this all the time, but, you know, talking on the sidelines and talking about cover two and talking to cover three and seeing a safety blitz, that's great. But you got to start to see it live. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see it live, then you can understand how to adjust. I mean, the things that he's missing, I mean, I understand that it's going to be time, and I know we want to be ready for the first game for the Giants, but you're missing a lot of reps, TD. You're missing, you know, having to communicate. You said the communication, earlier about communication with the wide receiver. Okay, what is with the quarterback? What do I do if the safety blitzes? How do I do my side adjust? If it's cover due, how do I want you to adjust the route? We can say that all day long, but if Ryan Tannehill doesn't have the chemistry and understands what he's going to do while he's moving, then it's going to be a tough showing.
Yeah, and there's other things that work into that, right? You talk about being able to, you know, read the body language or see how he likes the back shoulder throw to be, placement and those type of things, how he gets in and out of the breaks.
Yep.
You know, all of that, those are things that you really hash out on the football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then also, you know, every receiver runs routes different. When I say they get to a point faster than others. So now you got Kyle Phillips. Say if you got, you know, Josh Malone or Des Fitzpatrick and he runs a comeback, they may get there at a different time as opposed to Traylon Burks. So it's all about timing. You got to have timing with your receivers. You got to have timing with Des Fitzpatrick, you know, Kyle Phillips, all those guys. But if Traylon Burks is not there, then how is he figure out his body language? Like, which, how is he going to figure out that when he gets at the top of his route, when to throw the ball? So even though they're communicating, physically he needs to be there.
Yeah, there's a physical aspect that you just
– absolutely.
You have to be able to feel that without a doubt. Mike Vrabel said that because I asked him just – you know, he said that the rookies will stay after. We know that.
Okay.
And he said, you know, they're going to focus on conditioning, getting weights in, and just, you know, getting used to working in the heat, which is a great thing. But I asked him about Traylon Burks, and he was like, "Oh, well, he'll be back on Monday." What do you make of that? You know, just as far as Burks staying behind and still working, how critical is it for him?
I mean, it's critical because, you know, I know and I understand his asthma, and I want to be sensitive to that, but. You know, we talk about, is he in shape? If he's not in shape, is he strong enough? All those things that are going to come into play to where on the off season, all those question marks that we have as fans and we have as commentators, I think they could be answered if he definitely stays here, which he is. He's going to get in great shape. I mean, I know everybody is wondering, is he in shape? Is it the asthma? You know, can he run routes? Can he get stronger? You know, can he, you know, be at the playing weight that he wants? So even though we have a lot of question marks, he can answer all those questions if he stays here.
Well, on the positive side of things, and you heard his voice to introduce this segment, Derrick Henry. He was back on the field, and it was to the and it was to the point. You know, there were times where he, you know, told some of the younger players, "Hey, step aside, man. I got this. I need this."
Extra. Wow.
When you see that and you watch how he was out there on the field, just seeing how he was, what do you make of that?
Man, I think you just see a leader. You know, a leader doesn't just talk about it. He's about it. And just watching him in the drills, just watching him talking to the guys and watching him execute what he's talking about, it just shows you that this guy wants to win. But I'm going to tell you something, TD. That dude is ginormous.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ginormous. When you have Haskins saying, man, that, you know, that Derrick Henry is bigger in person, I mean, it just shows you that Derrick Henry's working hard. He wants to prove everybody wrong. I know, you know, what he said in his videos and all this and that. He said, we don't care if you doubt me or you doubt all our players. We're going to come back strong. And it just shows you that he's working hard. He's teaching the young players. He's being a leader. Because when you be a leader, you got to do it every single day. And with him being out there talking to the players, with him being out there, you know, going through the drill, say, step aside, little young buck, let me show you how it's done. That makes everybody around you better.
Yeah, and I like that he said that people motivate him and they don't even know it. You know what I mean? And his answer
absolutely.
To the doubters, the haters, or as he said, whatever, we gonna see. That
absolutely.
Lets me know that I like the transparency, right? Like admitting
absolutely.
That, hey, you know what? You do try to tune it out, but you're aware of what people are saying.
Yeah, come on.
That's a really good thing. The foot he's saying is good. There's no concern there.
Right.
No, he's cutting on it. He's planting. Do you think it's reasonable to expect, you know, a 1,500-yard season from him?
I think you get more than that. I mean, just look at how he's cutting. And I know we see a lot of videos of him cutting up the hills and everything. It's great. But, man, in my opinion, I just think that he looks like he's in the best shape of his life. I mean, look how big his shoulder is. Look how he's planted with more authority. Because when he came back from that injury, when he hurt his ankle or hurt his foot or his ankle, it wasn't that plant and I'm gone. Now it's sticking that foot down and going. And when you have that guy doing that, I just think that it is definitely reasonable that he can get 1,500 and above.
Do you think they're going to ride him the way that they did the last couple of years?
I mean, I think they're going to be careful because you don't want to have a situation that happened last year to where he hurts his ankle and now you got to find Haskins or Hiller to come in and replace him. But I think they're going to be smart. I mean, you definitely have to be smart. I don't know how they're going to use him, you know, in camp or in preseason, but in the game he's going to have to play. But knowing Derek, he doesn't want you to take the load off him. He wants that load. But as me being his coach, you know, I'm going to make sure that Derek, I understand you want to play. I understand you want to make plays. But here's the deal. We need you for the long haul. That's the purpose. We don't need you to play, okay, one game, next game you get hurt. You get 30 carries against the Giants, and you get 30 against, the second team they play. Who they play, say? Oh, they play Buffalo. You have 30 carries then, but then all of a sudden that third game you get hurt because you're starting to wear down. I just think that the coaches, Mike Vrabel, J. Rob, and dudes need to be definitely, you know, careful of how many carries he gets.
Yeah, without a doubt, they need to be careful. Where do you think Haskins comes in this equation, though? I mean, he was a very productive player in Michigan, big back. And he's someone
absolutely.
That could complement him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like Foreman when they had last year, he's not as big as Foreman, but he'll still run through somebody's lips. Here's what I like about Haskins. Haskins catches the ball out of the backfield, and he makes something happen. Mm-hmm. If you look at last year when they played against Maryland, I think it was about a 76-yard touchdown. He ran like a little flare out, and he ran like a long touchdown. So with him, you know, catching the ball, running a flare route, and he just brings another element to the game. So if they blitz and they throw a flare route to him, he has the potential to take it off the distance. And just looking at him running the ball, he may not be as big as Derrick Henry, but the mindset is still the same. We're still going to run physical, and that's why I think it's going to be a great compliment to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, he likes to use that stiff arm for sure. So
he does got a stiff arm.
Yeah, he likes to use that, man.
Yeah,
we'll flip it on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh.
What's your opinion of this? I mean,
you know, I mean, it's a business. And, you know, Mike Vrabel, they asked, well, what about Jeffrey Simmons? Available? He's unavailable. So this is the question that I want to ask is why? Okay. If you're saying that I want to focus on football, then why aren't you participating in drills? why aren't you being out there? Why aren't you running around with your players? If you are physically okay, if it's not about a contract, then why are you not participating? So, you know, that's the question that I need to know, because at the end of the day, he's got to take care of his family. So if he sits out and doesn't participate in camp but's there, I mean, I wouldn't hold that against him, because if he goes in these camps and he gets hurt, he doesn't have the leverage. Because if you look at what the Tennessee Titans defense, what player do they that stands out on that defense?
It's him.
Jeffrey Simmons. He controls the tempo of that defense. So he has the leverage. He has the position to make a lot of money. And I'm not saying he's all about the money, but at the end of the day, he's making a business decision. So, you know, I'm not disappointed. I understand it's a business, but I just hope that he doesn't miss a lot of football.
Is there something he could gain from, you know, being in the building and being there?
I mean, you can gain head knowledge. You can learn, you can teach the young guys, which is great. But I'm telling you, TD, it's nothing like being on that football field, going through reps and the speed of the game, the physical nature of it. All that is great. But if you're not out there, then all of a sudden you come to the first game and, you know, you're ready to go, but you haven't been physically getting hit. You haven't been physically using your hands, and you haven't been physically in condition to sustain a long period of game. That's what you lose right there.
What's the next level for Jeffrey Simmons?
Man, you know, everybody's comparing him to Donald, and I think he has a potential to do that. I mean, sky's the limit. I mean, this dude is a game record. I just watched him, you know, when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, he single-handedly took over that game. Look at the Buffalo Bills. If he doesn't bull rush, that Josh Allen scores. So when you talk about a guy being an impact player, a guy that can definitely make plays, a guy that can take over the field, a guy that you feel on the field, he's very important. But, man, if he gets better and better and better, you're talking about one of the best D-lines to ever come in the Tennessee Titans organization.
Mm, ever.
Ever. Ever,
ever. Ever, ever. Ever, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Oh man, it's hot as fish grease out there, man.
Oh, it is. Let me tell you, what was that? Like, what was the worst experience you had? I mean, you played down in Houston too, with it.
Dude, we had camp at Trinity, and we had 2 days, and we were hitting every day when we was out there. We had practice for 2.5 hours, dude. I went from weighing 183 to 161, and I came home. You know, and my ex-wife looked at me. She was like, ugh. So that just tells you right there that, man, that heat ain't no joke, man. It's like this. Man, I got so dark that I went to night school and I got counted absent. That's how dark I was.
Oh, that's bad. They didn't see your eyes and your teeth?
No, man. They're just like, it's Chris Anderson. I'm waving in the back. They're like, he's absent.
All they had to do was make you laugh. They didn't see me.
Yeah.
So as they get ready for the off season. What do you think, you know, some of these guys are going to be doing? What would you suggest for we'll go back to Burks. What would you suggest for Treylon Burks?
I mean, he's got to take what he's – I mean, I know he's not on the field, but he's got to take what he's learned from Tannehill by talking to him and get ready to apply to where he's camp. I mean, like, with the young rookies that came in, like Haskins and, you know, Kyle Phillips and, you know, all these of these rookies, McCrary, all these guys, they need to take what the coach has taught them and start to really, really hone in on what the coaches are looking for and come into camp and compete for a starting position. That's what they have to do. They can't say, okay, you know what, I'm done with, you know, mandatory workouts or mandatory football, and then I can just chill, because next thing you know, you're going to be left behind. So if they take the knowledge that the coaches have taught them, apply it in practice, they come to camp, they're going to be ready to fire on all cylinders.
There you have it right there, Chris Sanders, talking shop. This is what we do.
Man,
I think we might need to take a small break.
Let's do it.
From this, but we will be back maybe a week or two. We'll see how it works.
Doubt.
But
hey,
until
hey,
then.
Before I go, man, I just got one question. Somebody told me something at the gym. They're like, man, you know, TD does very good in analysis, and he should be on ESPN. And they said, man, if he played in the movie or played in on a basketball team, what stunt devil, you know, could he be? And immediately, everybody at gym raised a hand and said, Sam Cassell. I said, that's it. That's him.
I don't know what movie Sam Cassell is in, but hey, I'll work with it. Just cut me a check.
I'm just messing with you. My pleasure, big dog.
All right, man.
Appreciate you.
It's Jefferson. I'm talking with TD. No one
man can stop me. Can I live? And there you have it. You hear the music. It's just one of those things, right? It's like peanut butter and jelly. Nate Washington and the LOX. We always make sure I bring him into the right music right there. Nate, what's good with you?
TD, it's been a minute. How are you, bro? Everything's great, man. You know?
Yeah, it has been a minute, man. And, you know, your name came up earlier this week and into last week, right? You know, they're talking about the best receivers to lace them up for the Titans. So I made sure I mentioned you. You know, A.J. Brown had his comments. He said he basically gave a fan a child please. He Ocho Cinco'd him, man. You know, yeah, told him, child please, I'm the best to ever play receiver for the Titans. I mean, I don't know that I agree with that, but what are your thoughts when you saw AJ post that, and just the overall mindset, or just you know what you're thinking, and how everything has gone down?
Man, you know what I mean. I've been around the game for quite some time now. I actually am blessed enough to be coming up on a 20-year reunion of my first Super Bowl, so that's like, you know, over the hill accomplishment for something that I didn't, you know, think ever would be possible for me. You know, the NFL was a far-fetched thing for me. So, you know, looking back on my time and what I was able to accomplish, I look at it a lot like boxing. You know, these guys get into it and they're supposed to believe in themselves. They're supposed to be confident. You know, some guys, you know, some say some things. Other guys will say other things. But at the end of the day, it don't bother me, man. You know, I am very grateful to have fans that, you know, cherish the things and the energy that I brought to that organization. I am, you know, very, very honored to even be considered to be in the conversation for even the greatest of all time of that organization. But those things don't bother me, man. I'm glad that he feels that, you know, he's one of the best guys that have laced him up, you know. He's very proud of what he's doing, and that is, like I said, those things don't bother me. I sleep well at night. My family is taken care of for my hard work, and those are the things that, you know, I will argue with somebody about. Other than that, I let the fans sort that out, and I'm definitely not here to toot my own horn. But 6 years, lasting with seven-plus quarterbacks, I'll take it. You know, it is a very growing time for me in Tennessee, not only as a player but as a man, and a lot of things that occurred throughout my time I'm grateful for. So regardless of the statement, you know, I'm still a big AJ fan. That doesn't bother me one bit. And, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, the fans going to stamp my place in it. You know, I don't need that validation for myself.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the right way to approach it, because, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a shot at you. And I mean, as a competitor, if you don't think you're the best, then you're not doing it right. So I agree with you there. When you look at just how the situation has evolved, as far as, I mean, this time last year, you know, we were looking at A.J. Brown as like a Titan forever. And now, just a year later, he's gone. Outside looking in, what's your take on that?
I tell everybody, you know, we get so caught up in the game and such. You know, we become fans of talent and all those things, but, you know, a lot of people just don't realize it's the old saying. It's still a business, you know, and if it fits the business, you know, motto to make those type of moves, put themselves in this type of position, you know, away from one of their star prospects that could be, you know, a guy in their franchise that can lead that franchise for years. When they make moves like that, they see it as a business first. You know, obviously it wasn't a question of talent. I think AJ's potential is still immense right now, and he's already accomplished so much. So I think the potential of talent is there, you know, to never be questioned. So it's always come down to business. It always comes down to the numbers. Unfortunately, the Titans didn't think that they could match the numbers that he was trying to reach for and deserve at the end of the day. So it was a business move. I think a lot of times as well, you know, these players, especially the players not on social media active. You know, you're so used to seeing these guys represent their team and talk about their organization that at the very moment they're gone, it's like, oh, what happened? Like, at any given moment, and I've really learned this from being in New England my last year, was that at any given moment, you'll have prospects coming in the building to be worked out. Everybody is being evaluated. And at any given time, your best player may be gone if it's going to help the organization succeed. So it was definitely surprising at the end of the day, but being a part of that, I understand the business, and at any given time, anybody can go, man.
So what's left is Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, you have Nick Westbrook and Kenny. We've talked about him. Dez Fitzpatrick. Let's start with Robert Woods and just what you've seen from him throughout his career, and what do you think about his potential to be the number one here with the Titans?
Well, I think he's going to be the vocal leader that they need. The last couple of years they've had, AJ lead with his play, his enthusiasm, and his energy. But, maturity-wise, he wasn't able to do that for them because he was still a young guy. You're looking at a guy like Robert, and although he didn't play in the Super Bowl last year, he has great team, understanding of leadership, understanding of what it's going to take to get in the playoffs and be impactful. Those type of things are going to carry over into that room, especially when you're dealing with a young guy in training. Those type of young guys are going to need guidance and help from veteran leadership, and I think that's exactly what Robert brings to the table. I've been seeing clips of him, and I'm just amazed to even see him back this size from the ACL injury. That just goes to show his fortitude and his will to go out and be an active role in that team. He's not being complacent and signing for money or not having another, organization pick him up from leaving Los Angeles. So you get a guy out there that has that type of mental work ethic, and I think it's going to be good. He brings a lot to the table, but his leadership of all is going to be just what I did.
And we're talking to former Titans receiver Nate Washington, formerly of the Nate and TD show. We had that going for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
rocking it out on Fridays. Treylon Burks, you've been through the ringer. You know what it's like to go from college to the NFL.
Yes.
If you had to give him some advice, what would that be?
Just keep your head down and keep working. I tell a lot of people the best thing about my situation coming in the NFL and not being drafted was I wasn't always preached to. I wasn't always acknowledged. I wasn't always harped on, about being right and those type of things. Media really wasn't following me around. And my point to that is those can turn into distractions. You can kind of get down on yourself when you're hearing all of these criticisms coming from the outside sources and it's not leading back to what you want to hear, And I think a lot of times, you got a young guy like that that's coming from a college that has been a superstar, has done some great things in college, and it doesn't immediately work out for them, then they can get distracted. And as we talked about even with AJ's statement earlier, this is a game all about confidence, And if you have the confidence in yourself, a lot of times it's going to help your talent itself get through. So I would just say keep his head down and just keep working. He's going to hear a lot of things, good, bad, a lot of praise, a lot of questions that will be posed about, is he compared to AJ and all those type of things. And it's an old cliche, but you got to just block it out and keep working and make sure that you're competing with who you were yesterday every single day and trying to get better. And if he's able to do that, I think he's able to bring what the Titans need to the table.
When you heard Ryan Tannehill say that he was in a dark place, he had to seek counseling and therapy to work through that loss. I mean, that lets you know that he took it, to heart. What do you make of him, taking that so personally and putting so much of the responsibility on himself?
Well, I think as any leader on any team, is that especially when you're in that position, I think it's always going to weigh on you when the things don't pan out. Some of the things that occurred in that game where he had a hand in happening. And I think it's always that, man, if I just had one more shot, you want to get right back out there, And to have a full offseason, obviously, is going to torture a guy. If you want to go back out there and show that you can correct all the mistakes that you made, that you can be the talent that the fans want you to be and all those type of things, but you have to wait. You have to wait till this next season come around. You have to play well through the season to put yourself back in position to play well in the playoffs again. So I understand it's like torture of time. It's like a real torture of time that a situation with the guy. I want to get back out there, show that he can be the leader that the team needs, show that he can take that team to the promised land. And, you know, those type of things can weigh on you mentally. But I'm pretty sure, you know, especially being back around the team, being back around the volunteer camps, the workouts with the fellas, the meeting rooms back with the coaches, you know, it kind of relieves a lot of that stress. You know, it can push you back in focus and say, okay, stay focused on the next go-round and we'll be all right. But it's definitely torture for you when it happens, you know, and it doesn't pan out that previous year.
You've been a part of teams that came close and fell short. You obviously got to the top of the mountain. We know that with the Steelers. But when you come close like that and you really have your sights on a Super Bowl and feel like, you know what, we should win it this year and fall short, how long does that stay with you? Like, is there a point where you're able to just tuck that away and move forward?
I think when you equate expectations into it in that regard, you put in the work, your team is good, you have solid coaching staff and the fan base is behind you to carry you throughout the way, and it doesn't work out, it all pans out to expectations. You know, you go into with a situation like that expecting to go to the Super Bowl, expecting to be successful in the playoffs, but the reality of it is the game still has to be played. You know, I've seen, like as I stated, my first Super Bowl, we were the 60s. You know, we went, every game we played was on the road. We were the underdogs. And at the end of the day, we realized that, you know, a lot of people may be counting us out beyond our fan base, but we have what it takes to get to the Super Bowl if we stay focused and do our job. And that was our ability to show the world that they kind of chose the wrong, you know, people to win a lot of those games. So it panned out for us. But at the end, like you said, you know, when you have expectations of going to the Super Bowl and it doesn't happen for you, I mean, it can definitely be destructive to you, not only as a person but as a team. I've seen teams blow up, you know, guys that were once cool start to fall out, you know, because of those expectations of performances and those matters, and it doesn't work out. So you really have to make sure that you're dealing with a close-knit team, a brotherhood of guys that understand, you know, win, lose, draw, we're going to have to stick this out and keep fighting.
Do you think this defense is the kind of defense that this team could ride to the Super Bowl?
I think they're getting some pieces. I think the most thing that I'm excited about are these young corners. I want to see what Caleb is going to be able to do. I want to see what they're able to bring to the table in the secondary, especially with Janoris and those guys leaving. I think at the end of the day, that is going to be the biggest question mark. The pass rush came around last year. I'm very excited about this linebacker core that they have with Cunningham. And I think their speed is there. You know, obviously we have one of the best safeties in the league in Kevin, and I think he's always, his leadership will continue to grow and guide that back in the right direction that they need to be in. But at the end of the day, those two corners that are going to be starting for us this year, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how much confidence they can play with. We'll obviously have a big, huge test with Indianapolis this year and what some of the moves they made in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see what the defense does, but I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get back to getting after the quarterback. I'm excited about seeing Bud's confidence come back around to his rebuild from the ACL and hearing him speak on those type of things. So it's going to be exciting. I think we'll be able to get out to the quarterback, but we'll still have to have those young boys on the edges make sure that they're able to make plays.
Before we get you out of here, when's the next time you're going to be here in Nashville?
I'm in Nashville tomorrow, TD. I'm actually in town for the alumni golf tournament. I mean, golf charity tournament, and I'll be there now for a couple of days. So hopefully I bump into you.
Yeah, for sure. I knew that. I was just giving you a chance to go ahead and announce it. Let the people know that the boy is coming home.
Yeah, no, I may even have something for the fans on Twitter to have them meet me somewhere and maybe have a couple beers on me. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll make sure we put it out there. And look, man, the way these receivers are making money now, you know, you might want to make a comeback, and then you could really foot a big-time bill.
Hey, TD, if I can find a brand-new neon sale at Walmart, I'm out there, baby.
Dude, I appreciate you, man. Always good. We'll definitely catch up.
No doubt, TD.